Morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege to be sharing the word with you this morning. I really consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to stand here and share with you what God has said. Thank you, Mark, for giving us that opportunity. And I just want to honor Kenny, my husband. Doesn't he look good in his blue shirt? I like that shirt. I think it's wonderful for us to minister together as a couple and have this opportunity. And, you know, something through this whole month, as Kenny and I have been amongst you and living amongst you, something that has very much been on our heart is the same scripture that we find in Galatians that Paul said to the church in Galatia. He said, "I am in the pains of childbirth to see Christ formed in you." And that's been Kenny's in my heart this whole month, is that you will see Jesus. And that at the end of this month, a little bit more of Jesus is revealed in each and every one of you. Because when we look at the book of Ephesians, that is the sign of maturity. When gifting, the Ephesians 4 gifting comes into the church, it is for the maturity of the people. And scripture says that you reach the full stature of what Christ is. That is a sign of being mature. And I've said before that a Christian who's walked the road for 20 years and you have a newborn believer of a couple of months may be more mature than the 20-year-old Christian who's walked for 20 years because of how much Jesus is being revealed through his life. And that is a sign of maturity, is how much of Jesus's character, how much of Jesus's heart, and how much of Jesus's actions is being seen through your life. That is maturity. And so that is our heart, is for you to see Jesus and be able to take steps of faith to allow him to be revealed in you. When you look at the book of Acts, after Stephen was stoned and killed, and the church was persecuted, and the church and the early church was scattered to all different parts of regions, and the people that settled in Antioch, that is where the believers were first called Christians. And Christian means little Christ. So how were they called Christians? Because they were revealing Christ. And in that community in Antioch, all these little Christs were running around, and that's called them. We were then called Christians. That's where the name Christians come from. So my prayer and Kenny's prayer for the Rock Church and the people who are walking with the Rock Church, that you will be known as little Christs in this community as you reveal Jesus Christ. And that's why the book in Hebrews, we see in chapter 3 and in chapter 12, where the writer to the book of Hebrews is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Paul, through all these letters, were encouraging us to not look at what's the natural world. Look at Jesus. Set your minds on those things that are above, not below. And the reason is because what we behold is what we will become. So where is your focus? If it's on Jesus, you will reveal Jesus. If it's on the world, you will reveal the world. And that truth was shown to Jacob by God himself. When Jacob was sitting and had worked for 7 years for Leah, had worked 7 years for Rachel, under his father-in-law Laban, and he now wanted to go. And his father-in-law said to him, just work another season. He had to work another 6 years. I think he was with his Laban for 20 years before he was eventually released. But then Jacob said to him, look, I want to go, but you haven't paid me for all my work I've done, except given me two women. But he says, so let us take, I need some of these animals, the sheep and the goats and that. So God gives Jacob a dream and says to Jacob, take all the speckled and the spotted sheep and goats and the black ones, and you take those with you. And he says to Jacob, take the poplar and the almond branches and peel the strip of the bark off, so you have like the white of the bark, and then you'll have the green and then the white. So you'll have these striped sticks from the poplar and the almond tree, and put it in front of the feeding trough of the sheep and the lambs. And then as they mated in front of these, so they birthed the straps and the spotted lambs. So that's how Jacob managed to have these huge flocks, because as the sheep were mating in front of this, what they were beholding, they were producing. And that is how Jacob, and God gave him that strategy. And we find that truth right throughout Scripture. What we behold is what we will produce. So that is why the author and that of Hebrews, and that is why Paul, throughout the script, the letters he wrote, was saying to us, cast your eyes on that which is above. Fix your eyes. Set your eyes. And that fix and set, it means it's the same word that gets used when pilots and captains of boats set the coordinates in for autopilot to take the ship or the boat somewhere, where they fix the course. So nothing can sway it. It is set on the course it's going to go on. That's what that word means. So we are called as children of God to fix our eyes on Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on him, as we see him, we will, and we behold him, we will become little Christs. And in that way, we mature in our walk with God. We reveal Christ to a world that is hungry to know the reality of what it means to live a life out of victory. We are facing a world that is full of pain and heartache and trouble and hardship. But Jesus is the answer. And we have the answer as we live our lives out, releasing and revealing Jesus Christ. And that is what I'm wanting to talk about. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, because we see that in the beginning of the book of Revelation, this is what Paul, what John sees on the island of Patmos. And what is so amazing is that throughout Scripture, even in the Gospels, we don't get a clear description of who Jesus, what Jesus looked like. We don't get his height. We don't get his build. A little bit in Isaiah talks about his disfigured body that was on the cross. But the only, and in the Gospels, when they came to betray, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus in Gethsemane, they couldn't even identify who Jesus was. Judas had to go up and kiss him so the soldiers could know who to arrest. So there's no clear description of who Jesus, what Jesus looked like. And then we get Revelation. And in the last book of the Bible, we see a picture of Jesus. This is the Jesus we've got to focus our eyes on to. This is the Jesus we've got to lift up and see. This is the Jesus we have got to be walking out and revealing to the world. Not the Jesus in the manger and the little baby lamb. The little baby or the lamb. The sacrificial lamb. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the Jesus coming back. The same picture in Revelation 1 is described in Revelation 19. The same picture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we see that Revelation opens up with Jesus being revealed as King. It closes as Jesus being revealed as King in Revelation 19. And in between that, we see Jesus the judge who judges the nations who reject him. But for a Christian, we see him as King. And it's King Jesus. It is the Lordship of Jesus that some of us here today have to make a transition to. You know him as Savior. You know him as friend. But do you know him as King and Lord? Because if we truly know him and see him as King and Lord of our lives, it'll change the way we live. So here, John, on the Isle of Patmos, I want to read the scripture from verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So here we see that John was banished to the island of Patmos because he was spreading the word of Jesus. He was preaching the gospel and he was living his life out with his relationship with Jesus. And so the emperor, the Roman emperor, banished him to the Isle of Patmos. Now, this island of Patmos was a sterile island. It was very rocky. There was no fruit. There was no plants or signs of fruitfulness in it. It was dry and barren. And in this place of barrenness and being sterile, John sees Jesus. And it says here, on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. On this sterile island where there's no fruit and there's a barrenness, where was John found? In the spirit. Now, this is a capital S. In other words, John was in a position where he had switched off what was in the natural and his eyes was focused on heaven. There are some of us today that are living in barren situations. You are not seeing fruit and you are becoming discouraged and you are in a place where you are seeing no fruitfulness. It is dry and barren around you. It may be a relationship. It may be your finances. John, in this place, was in the spirit. I want to encourage you, lift up your eyes and see where your help comes from. Lift up your eyes and switch off from the natural and focus on what God has promised you. Focus on what is already in heaven. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Focus on what the Word of God has said over your life and you will see Jesus. And that is what happened here with John. And it says here, write, the voice behind him like a trumpet said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Excuse me for my pronunciation, but it's those seven churches. Just to take a little bit of a quick diversion on these seven churches. So hold that thought. When you look at Paul, Paul wrote seven letters to seven churches in the New Testament. Here we see Jesus addressing seven churches. The church of Philadelphia was the only church that Jesus did not correct. The church of Philippians was the only church Paul did not correct. Somewhere in that, there's something God's wanting to tell us. I haven't investigated yet. That is, I'm going to have to look at that. But I find God's not a God of coincidences. God's a God of purpose. Paul, seven churches, seven letters. Jesus, seven churches, seven messages. Philadelphia, no correction. Philippians, no correction. So it is a good study. Okay, so come back to Revelation chapter 1. I turned around in verse 12 to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like the bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When we see Jesus, we will fall at our feet as if we're dead. Isaiah, when he saw Jesus, he said, woe is me. I am undone. When you follow the whole Old Testament and New Testament, when people met Jesus, when they met God, they fell down at their feet. They could not stand. And yet we today take it so lightly. How many of us are hungry for the presence of God? Hungry to see Jesus break into our world? Hungry to see Jesus for who he is. This is the picture of Jesus today. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is roaring like the lion of the tribe of Judah over his church in the season we are living in. He is not the lamb, he is the lion. And we need to open our eyes and see Jesus for who he is today. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has the power to break every stronghold in your life. He has the power to release his finances in your life. He has the power to bring healing to you. He has the power to put you in a place of favor and abundance. We serve a mighty God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here we see that John sees Jesus, And as he describes what he is seeing, each and every attribute that John sees in Jesus as the King, we can apply in our lives as we see that of Jesus. We can walk in it and we can live it. And those are the same characteristics and attributes we can reveal as we walk out our relationship with Jesus. The thing that we have to keep in mind here was this was a vision. This was not Jesus himself. Jesus himself, right now, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for each and every one of us. He is our high priest. But John saw a vision. The heavens opened and he saw a vision of who Jesus is. And I'm saying to each and every one of you, you can see that same vision because the curtain was torn. You have access into the throne room just as John had. And Jesus can reveal yourself to you in the same way. He is revealing himself today to hundreds of Muslims. He is showing himself to them and they are falling as if dead at his feet and they are being saved. That same Jesus can reveal himself to you. So we see here that Jesus, as John sees him, he sees him in his priestly robes. That long robe, it says here, that reached down to his feet. That it was a sign of dignity and a sign of authority. And that gold sash, the sign of his kingship. And when you look at Jesus in his humanity, he is the Lamb. When you look at him in his deity and his majesty and his authority, he is the Lion. And Jesus came as the Lamb in his first coming, and he's going to return as the Lion in his second coming. So the first thing, as Jesus is revealing himself as King and roaring over his people as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the first attribute we see here in verse 14, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. It speaks of his wisdom. And the corresponding scripture is found in Daniel 7, where Daniel saw the Ancient of Days. And it proves that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, which we see reading before. He is the first and the last. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He carries all wisdom. And as we are beholding him, as we are looking at him, we see the same wisdom. We ourselves can walk out in that wisdom. And I'm not talking about the wisdom that we receive as a gift from the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that the Holy Spirit comes with gifts and gives us the gift of wisdom. That gift of wisdom is giving us the ability to know what to do from knowledge we've received. That when supernaturally we'll be in a situation and God will just give us the right wisdom to know what to do in that situation. That's not the wisdom I'm talking about. When we are following Jesus and we are seeing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are beholding him with his head as white as snow, and we see him as being wisdom, having all wisdom, we start walking out in that wisdom. It is described in James. Look what it says. In James 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. But then it goes on to James 3, and it describes the wisdom I'm talking about right now. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. I'm telling you now, if you see Jesus, you will be humble. You will fall at your feet. You will not have pride. When I see people walking in pride, I know they have not seen Jesus. Because Jesus gives us humility when we are in his presence. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. This is the word of God speaking. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, as you behold Jesus, the King of Kings, is first of all pure. It is peace-loving. It is considerate. It is submissive. It is full of mercy and good fruit. It is impartial and it's sincere. That's the wisdom I'm talking about. So when I meet people walking in these attributes, with these being so evident in their life as they are facing circumstances, I know they have seen Jesus. Because that's what you receive from heaven when you're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then we go on and we see here that John sees Jesus, and he sees not only was his hair and as white as snow and his and on his head, but his eyes were like blazing fire. Can you imagine seeing Jesus with that penetrating vision of his eyes like blazing fire? Peter experienced it when he denied Jesus. And when he denied Jesus the third time, when Jesus was arrested, Peter turned and he looked straight into the eyes of Jesus. And the word says that Jesus' penetrating look, you got the look. You know, I sometimes give Kenny the look. You know the look. When we are beholding Jesus, his penetrating eyes like fire burn into our soul, and he sorts out everything in us that's not of him. He burns it up with that fire of the look of his eyes, and we come before him, and that's what happened with Isaiah. And he said, woe is me, because as he saw Jesus, as he saw the Lord, he was so aware of the faults in his life. And Jesus does not judge us. He does it for our benefit, to make us more like him. So he just burns away the dross and he deals with that bad attitude. The times I've gone into the presence of Jesus and I said, Lord, change my heart. Create in me a pure heart, Lord, because I know my heart's deceitful above all things. And he just comes with his, and I just look into his eyes and I see that burning, blazing fire that burns everything away that's not of him. We need times like that because we do struggle. There are things we have a selfishness and we have these selfish attitudes. The only way we're going to deal with it is in the eyes when we are in the presence of the Lord. And then it goes on and it says here, not only were these eyes like white, blazing fire, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. That bronze talks about judgment. Bronze is a very hard substance that has been tried by fire. But if we are wanting to be people, as we look and into the face of Jesus, as we look into seeing Jesus as King of Kings, what burns in our heart is this knowledge that the judgment of God is going to come upon the unbeliever. It is the knowledge that I have a message of love to give to the unbeliever. It is the willingness to go and spread the gospel. That's what happens. The times when I've had glorious times with the Lord, I come out and I've got so much to share. I want to let people know that it's not turn or burn. It is not hell or heaven. It is the love of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And when we see Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this burns in our heart of the love that he has for the unbeliever. John chapter 3, at the end of 3, it talks about those who reject Jesus have the wrath of God on them. That's the bronze, the wrath, the judgment for the unbeliever, not for the believer. And our heart is for the unbeliever. If we have spent time 2 minutes in the presence of Jesus, we can only but go and share the word. And only but go and share the gospel. Because that was the last word that Jesus said to his people. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey the word, the gospel. We will be a people willing to go and share the gospel. And then we see here, goes on, and he said his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. It speaks about hearing the voice of God in our life. When we have been into the presence of Jesus and we see him as King of Kings, we have an ear to hear what he says. We've heard that his love language is obedience. We are willing to be obedient to him. We are people walking in the obedience of his word, hearing his word, knowing his voice. Many times we don't hear the voice of Jesus in our life because we are so involved with other voices that are happening. We are hearing far too many other voices speaking to us. We don't recognize the voice of Jesus. We're not in his word, and so we miss it when he is speaking. Thank you. I've got 5 minutes. I will finish in 5 minutes. His feet were like And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Have any of you been to Niagara Falls and heard the rushing waters? Kenny and I have been a privilege of being in Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe when it was in flood. We can't hear each other speak because those rushing waters are so loud. That is the voice of Jesus in our lives. That rushing waters where he rushes in and drowns out any other voice. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Do we know the voice of the shepherd? And here we see lastly, I'm going to end with this one. He says, in his right hand he holds 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun in all its brilliance. Coming out of the mouth of Jesus was a sword. Now, remember, this was a vision, and the sword speaks about the word of God. What are we speaking? Are we breaking down? Are we speaking negative? Or are we speaking life, the word of God? What are we speaking into each other's lives? When we have been people that have been in the presence of God, nothing negative can come out of our mouth. Only what is helpful and building up for the listener who is listening to us. We know the word and we speak the word, and we are able to use the word as a weapon against what the enemy puts against us. That's exactly what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. When the enemy came across, he said, the word says. Do we know the word that we can use it as a sword against the enemy's strategies in our life? Something that I find so amazing here was his face was like the sun shining in all his brilliance. That sun, that face of his shining like the sun speaks of his glory. The same when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after being in the presence of God. His face was shining. He had to put a veil over his face. Scripture says to us in Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We have the glory of God residing within us. But for many of us, we do not allow it to be released out of our lives because we want to keep that veil over our face. We have the glory as we step out in what God has called us, as we see Jesus and we just allow him to come and do what he wants to do in our life. People will see the presence of God in our life. I find so interesting that Jesus was standing amongst 7 lampstands. And he says in verse 20 of chapter 1 that those lampstands were the churches. The presence of Jesus is amongst his church because he's building his church. We cannot, if we do not have the presence of Jesus, we are not building church. We're building a club, a society. What makes us different to any other gathering today? It's the presence of Jesus. And it's his presence that stood amongst the churches. It is his presence in the church that makes all the difference. So I want to encourage each of us to spend time, to make time to see Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. No matter what you're going through, no matter how sterile your life may be, lift up your eyes and see Jesus. And allow him, as you behold him, as you look upon him and see him as King of kings, he will start dealing with things in your life. And you will start walking out and becoming a little Christ. People in this community will see Jesus in your life. That's maturity. That's what he wants from each and every one of his children. It pains to know that Christ is being formed in you. And if we can just close our eyes, I want to just pray the scripture over each of us. I want to pray Hebrews chapter 12. Father, I thank you for each and every one of us here today that is in the Rock Church, in Terrace, in British Columbia, in Canada, that your presence is amongst us. And since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in the heavenlies, Lord, help us to throw off everything in our lives that will hinder us and the sin that will so easily entangle us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to run with perseverance the race that you've marked out for each and every one of us, that we as your people and your children can fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Because, Lord, for the joy set before you, you endured the cross, you scorned its shame, and you sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, help us as we go through this week, as we go through the days ahead of us, that we can consider you, Lord Jesus, who endured such opposition from men, so that we ourselves will not grow weary and lose heart, but we will be strengthened in our faith because we see you, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.